You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And we're glad you're here. Thanks for listening. It's the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm Joe Galewski. To reach Dr. Mike on the show, on the phone, 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. We'll have a guest on at 35 after the hour. He's Dr. Robert Marks. He's an orthopedic surgeon and regarded one of the world's top orthopedic surgeons. He's treated thousands upon thousands of knee and shoulder injuries and is well known for his expertise in ACL and complex multi-ligament knee reconstructive surgeries. Book is called The ACL Solution. That'll be at 35 past the hour. Dr. Mike, good to talk to you. We're going to start the show today with a very special guest, right?
Right. Dr. Claire Tseng is the chair of the Genetic Medical Institute or Genetic Medicine Institute. And because of the Supreme's decision this week on genetic testing, I invited her to be a guest. Because I thought she could share some information about what it means for each of our listeners. Dr. Tseng, thank you for coming on.
You're very welcome. Just to clarify, I am the founding chair of the Genomic Medicine Institute at the Cleveland Clinic, which also has a clinical component that looks after patients who seek testing on BRCA1 and 2. The Supreme Court had a landmark ruling because it invalidated some of the claims of Myriad Genetics, which was the only company that could offer BRCA1 and 2 testing, which are linked to risk of breast and ovarian cancer. What the Supreme Court upheld was that genes are natural and therefore cannot be patented. So that was invalidated. What it upheld is that folks can still alter genes and patent the process, and certainly Myriad has those a few processes patented. It's a landmark because now many companies and many people can use different and new technologies to study BRCA1 and 2 and offer new diagnostic tests. And so we are already seeing many companies offering testing at much lower cost. Good thing.
So the cost of this was over $3,000 for the testing, which limited its use, I suppose, because many companies didn't, or many insurance plans, I assume, didn't cover it. And even if they did, many people didn't probably want it known whether they were BRCA1 or 2 positive.
That's correct, although things are changing, especially with Angelina Jolie, who I think did a wonderful thing for genetics and its users. And in fact, now I think the least expensive BRCA1 and 2 testing is below $1,000. Again, competition is a good thing.
So it will bring down testing. Will it stop? And the worry I saw in the newspaper today and yesterday is, will it stop innovation in testing, or will it not have any effect on that?
I think it will increase innovation in testing as folks look to go around the second part of the Myriad patent that was not invalidated, and that is altering the gene so that it can be better analyzed. New technologies are allowing this. So, again, for innovation, it's even better news.
So explain that to me. So what is the, explain a little more about the second part that was upheld for us.
So the part that's upheld is Myriad had a certain technique to alter the gene chemically so that they can use small amounts, Xerox it, so to speak, the PCR, and then read the gene code. Because of new technologies, there are now quite a few different ways to alter the genes to facilitate the analysis. And so the latter has increased the different methods of testing.
Now, I assume, I read there were two university labs and three other companies, in addition to Myriad, that will offer this specific test, do they have some form of magnification so that you don't need to give a huge sample of blood for it?
Yes, definitely, and that's part of the trick, and new technology, such as next-generation sequencing.
Let me go off and now ask, part of the key in genetic testing, obviously, is a family history. And you've often cited, and I think we had you on the show once before, citing how important that was.
Correct.
When will genetic testing or testing your genes become a routine thing, even without family histories of positive disease, or do you think it always will remain that positive history is a first step?
In the here and now, I think a positive family history or personal history red flags, as I call them. What does that mean? Young age. So, for example, Angelina Jolie's mother got breast cancer at a young age, and even without a family history, that would be a red flag that would send a patient to a genetics evaluation. In, I don't know, a decade, two, three, I actually do see everyone having the entire genome sequence and having every variation, every sentence, every typographical error be known what the clinical outcome is, and importantly, how do we fix it, whether it's by behavior modification, whether it's by diet, whether it's by preventive surgeries. That's the day when I think a whole genome should be sequenced shortly after birth. But between now and then, meaning every genetic alteration should be linked to every clinical outcome, is what I call the ugly duckling stage, when we don't know. In this ugly duckling stage, the family health history is a clue, and the personal red flags, such as young age of onset, two different cancers, because that's sort of rare, breast cancer and ovarian cancer, breast cancer and thyroid cancer, two breast cancers that are separate, not spread. So those are red flags that would make someone say, I should ask my doctor to see a geneticist.
Well, thank you very much for being on, and thank you at short notice for changing your schedule to help inform our listeners. Thanks very much,
Doctor. You're most welcome. Take care. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you. Joe?
Okay. Dr. Mike, thank you very much. A little bit about our guest before the break. We go to the break at 5:35. He's a doctor that does a lot in reconstructive surgeries of knee injuries, ACLs, Dr. Robert Marks. His book is called The ACL Solution, Prevention and Recovery for Sports' Most Devastating Knee Injuries. Orthopedic surgeons, that's probably specialists we're all probably going to have to see eventually at some point in time during our lives, don't you think?
Well, I obviously have. I tore my medial meniscus, and my son, who was a three-sport athlete, tore two of his after his college playing days, just playing around on a field that wasn't perfectly conditioned, fell into a hole, and then was crazy enough to go back and play competitive soccer again and fell into another hole with the other knee. So, with the foot, fell into a hole in the knee, twisted and tore his medial meniscus too. So I obviously have helped try to keep an orthopedic surgeon in very good cars.
Yeah. Everybody spends so much time walking and, you know, physical activity and sports and everything. The knees, they take so much abuse, don't they?
Especially with us getting overweight. What is neat in this book is he tells you how to prevent it and shows you exercises, and we'll describe them on air, and he will hopefully, on how to prevent this injury so that you can learn, even when you do stuff like I and my son did, how to prevent ACL tears, which are the most serious of the tears.
Okay, that'll be our guest coming up at 35 after the hour. We'll get to some of the top medical news stories of the week this week. It's going to be pretty hot summer, so get ready for that, how to get ready for that. And what are the germiest places in the gym? That'll be coming up. And a new study out on hand washing. Are we getting any better at hand washing after we leave the restroom? Coming up, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com, morning and night multivitamins, YouDocs@gmail.com, YouDocs@gmail.com. On the phone, it's 877-711-5211. The CDC, Dr. Mike, is telling us to get ready for a hot summer. That's what they're thinking.
Right, and this is that there are about 650 deaths each year from extreme heat that can be prevented. So it's a fairly sizable number, and it's because the people most at risk, that is seniors, children, the poor, and people with pre-existing medical conditions, try and sit still and wait it out, if you will. The key is to make sure you get in a cool area. Go to a mall, go to some place that has cooling, and then make sure you get plenty of water. Tap water is fine, get plenty of water. But just to give you the idea, if you look at the number of people who die from heat, it's more than tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, and lightning combined by a large number.
Why are they dying? Why is it? What are they lacking? What are they lacking?
What they do is they get dehydrated, and then once you get to a certain point, heat stroke takes over. That heat stroke inactivates your brain's own controls of your temperature, and you go very hot and very cold and get arrhythmias, or actually fry your protein in your brain and lose brain function.
What liquid shouldn't you drink when it's hot?
Any liquid is better than no liquid, but it's obviously alcohol is one of those things that tends to let you absorb more heat rather than get rid of it. So alcohol is the one thing that they say you shouldn't do. But other than that, I mean, any liquid is better than no liquid.
If you live in a hot state that has hot water, hot weather, majority of the time, do you get used to it?
There is some customization to heat. That is, you learn how to sweat better. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But you actually are able to turn on your sweating mechanism at a much earlier time and more effectively so that you can dissipate that heat. And remember, keep your mouth open so you can get rid of some of it through your breathing in and out through your mouth is more effective than your nose.
Hmm.
That's really a late thing. I mean, really the key is just drinking fluid and getting in as cool an environment as you can.
All right. So hot summer, but so far it's been a pretty wet spring with a lot of rain, especially in the Northeast spring heading toward summer here in about a week. The germiest places in the gym, Dr. Mike, where are they?
Well, the interesting thing is that the water fountain, if you happen to actually grab on to the handles, or if you will, the other place is the spout. And don't touch the spout with your mouth. That's a very bad thing. And that's a contaminated one. You wouldn't think of it, but a lot of people do.
Yes.
The other is your water bottle. You really should clean your water bottle periodically, because you touch it with your germy hands, the spout, especially if you have one of those things where you flip on and off the spout, and it gets pretty germy. The Zumba class is also one of those places that viruses are transmitted, because you're so close together. But the other things that I was surprised at, the gym bag. Your gym bag ends up being very contaminated. Shoes get a lot of different type of microbes, that is bacteria and viruses, and they probably get it from shedding from other areas of your body. So that's your gym shoes are one of the dirtiest. So if you're going to wash after changing your clothes, make sure before you, that is putting on your clothes, make sure you wash after you've put on your gym shoes. Before you go out. And then, of course, cycling bikes. The cycling bike seats and handlebars contain a lot of germs when they looked at them.
I'm not giving up Zumba, all right? I'm not going to give up my Zumba class. I'll just have you know that, all right?
I don't want you to. I just want you to spread 6 feet from the next person. So if you start 6 feet away, you're much safer.
They already do that for some reason. They already get away as far away from me as possible. That ties in with a new study that just came out. Recent study finds that people following a trip to the restroom, some 95% of people don't wash their hands properly, meaning long enough to actually eliminate bacteria properly. Some commit some worse hygiene sins. A third don't use soap, and a tenth don't wash their hands at all. Are we getting any better at washing our hands and being germ-free when we leave the restroom?
I don't know the one thing that I do know. I mean, we have a we had a hand washing observing brigade. We still have it at the Cleveland Clinic. So we pay people to look at your badge as you go in and out of the room and make sure you're washing your hands and actually validate it. So we have secret watchers, if you will. And we've gone from 35% washing in between patients to the recent data is a little over 99.3%. So we're pretty darn good, and that's preventing a lot of infections. So hospitals are getting a lot better. I don't know about other places.
You know what they say, the character of a man, the character of a person is best judged when nobody's watching. That's how you determine the character of a man. Men were less hygienic than women. Just half the guys used soap, 15% didn't wash their hands. Among women, the stats were 78%, 7% respectively. And they suggested that proper hand washing is occurring, I guess, at a much higher rate. Interesting finding about this study. If the sink was clean, the time increased. The time that people spent washing their hands increased when the sink was clean.
That makes some sense. They felt more comfortable there, so they would wash for longer.
Yep. I'm sure I've never eaten restaurants where the help has scratched the words "drop dead" on the sign that says "employees must wash hands." That's a deal killer for me when I see that "wash your hands" sign scratched out by somebody who works in the restaurant. Smartphone addiction may affect adolescent development. Mike, we'll do that before the break on our guest at 5:35. What are the details on that?
This is 200 adolescents in Korea, South Korea, obviously, and smartphones, 6.5% personally reported they have excessive use of smartphones. 41.3% said excessive gaming on the smartphone. 12% reported abnormal behavior after losing their smartphone. I understand that one. 9.3% reported conflicts with parents. And 9% reported looking up obscene material. That was self-reports. So you can see that it's probably much higher than that. But it is associated with depression. And even suicide, that is, the kids who have the addiction. In the United States, 37% of teens had smartphones in 2012. That's up from 23% the year earlier, so it's increasing a great deal. And obviously what you need to do if you're a parent is to set limits. And remember, you can always see what they're looking at if you want to. That is a way, if the NSA can do it, you can do it. But remember that the goal is to set limits and then have trust.
If Dr. Deb Lonser were here today, she'd say some of these kids get this new modern technology too early, in their developmental years. But I'll say it for her today since she's not with us here today. It's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Got a phone, use it if you want to talk to Dr. Mike. Or any guests that we have along the way in the show, you can do that too. It's 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. We'll tackle those knees of yours. When you hear snap, crackle, and pop, do you think of cereal or your body's soundtrack to working out? Help for your knees, ACLs, and everything else in between with one of the best orthopedic surgeons out there. On You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference. To raise money and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour to Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip coming up for the end of the hour, so stay around for that. Dr. Robert Marks is an orthopedic surgeon regarded among one of the world's top orthopedic surgeons. He's treated thousands upon thousands of knee and shoulder injuries and is very well known for his expertise in ACL and complex multi-ligament knee reconstructive surgery. His book is called The ACL Solution, Prevention and Recovery for Sport's Most Devastating Knee Injury. It's published by Demos Health, Dr. Robert Marks. Thanks for joining us here today. I've always wondered what's more painful when it happens, an ACL or Achilles tendon tear? I see these in sports all the time, doctor.
That's a good question. Achilles tendon is also very common in sports. I think an ACL is generally more sore, because you have swelling in the knee from the ACL tearing and bleeding into the knee. Pressure on the capsule is very painful. So when you have a big swollen knee after an injury like that, it's really sore. Achilles tendon's no fun either, but I think an ACL is more unpleasant.
I just refer back to that NCAA tournament when the Louisville basketball player did what he did on the floor in the NCAA in the Final Four. That was pretty rough to watch.
Yeah, he broke his tibia, and any long bone fracture like that's also extremely painful. So Yeah, that was very difficult to watch, although everyone did probably over and over.
It was pretty rough. Here's Dr. Mike Royson. Dr. Mike.
So the ACL is a anterior cruciate ligament, and it is the main, it is a main hinge or main component of the knee joint. Tell us, why is it so severe compared to, for example, I've had both of my medial menisci repaired, as has my son from our squash days and his soccer days. Why is ACL so much more devastating an injury?
Well, the main thing with the ACL is if you tear your ACL and you want to go back to a sport like squash or the common ones in the United States or basketball, soccer, lacrosse, things like that, cutting and pivoting sports, without your ACL, there's a high risk your knee's going to be unstable and shift out on you. And that's very unpleasant. So people who injure themselves in sports, 90% of ACL injuries occur in sport. People who want to go back to those sports generally have ACL reconstruction to be able to get back to sport once they tear it. And an ACL reconstruction versus an arthroscopic meniscus surgery is a much bigger deal, because although an ACL reconstruction is done arthroscopically, you're putting a new ligament in the knee, you're fixing it there with a couple of screws. It's a much bigger operation than a scope to remove a little bit of torn meniscus.
Now, you say that a lot of these can be prevented. Is that what percent or how important is prevention? And you go through and we'll get to it, but you go through a series of exercises. How important is prevention? Do we have any data saying how many of these injuries you could prevent?
It's about 2/3 of ACLs in sports can be prevented, probably a half to 2/3. And when I first heard of that, I didn't believe it. I thought it was ridiculous. I first heard it about 10 to 15 years ago that there were prevention programs targeted to prevent ACL injuries. It made no sense. How can you prevent an injury? If you're going to tear something, it's just going to tear. How can an exercise prevent it? Well, it turns out after years and years of research and study after study, there's really a lot of evidence to support prevention as working to eliminate, not completely, but eliminate a lot of ACL tears. And so it's really now conclusive and accepted by orthopedic surgeons that a large number of ACL injury can be prevented. It's just a question of getting the prevention exercises out to the masses, to the people who are actively involved in sports, and that's actually quite a challenge.
So I should say your book, The ACL Solution, Prevention and Recovery from Sport's Most Devastating Injury, the author is Robert G. Marks, M.D., M-A-R-X, and there's actually a website in it that is www.drmarks.com. I think it's .com, isn't it? Dr. Marks?
DrRMarks.com, correct.
DrRMarks. RMARX.com has this. But the book is beautifully illustrated to show these injuries. And one of the things I was curious of, why did you start with the plank?
Well, there's a series of exercises to make up this exercise prevention program. And the first thing is strength. And, you know, we used to think, you know, if you want to prevent a knee injury, strengthen the muscles around the knee like the quad. So do, you know, quad exercises. But we've recognized over the last 10 years or so, 10, 15 years, the importance of the core and the hip in preventing problems around the knee, both whether pain but also injury prevention. So you got to have a stable hip, pelvis, and core to hold the leg in place. It's all connected. If you have a weak hip, then the knee is not supported well. And if your trunk is not solid, your body will wobble around above the knee, and the knee will be at higher risk of being injured. So strengthening the whole core and the hip is really key to injury prevention. And we start off with some strengthening exercises, including plank and side plank, because they're absolutely critical to strengthening the part of the body above the knee to hold everything in place.
And then you go into jumping and how you land with jumping, but you also do what I would call some dynamic, and what you call some dynamic exercises. tell me what dynamic exercises are, or tell our listeners what dynamic exercise is and why it's important.
Well, a lot of the exercises, as you say, involve jumping and also balance, because a lot of injuries occur, ACL injuries in particular occur, because people are off balance and the knee gets into a vulnerable position. And also, they don't land properly from jumps. There's a safe way to land, and there's actually a dangerous way for people to land when jumping. So when you land, you want to land with your knees over your toes, not your knees caved in, as females often tend to do more than males. And you also want to land with your knees bent, not land with your legs straight. You want to land with your knees bent. And that can actually be taught through repetitive exercises with coaching and teaching. So balance and jump training, and the dynamic part can also be you can do balance exercise and throw in something related to the sport, such as catching a ball. So you can throw a ball back and forth standing on one leg. So you're working balance, but you're also doing something functional, something more dynamic at the same time.
And now the one of the things how much of the injuries are people landing wrong or twisting wrong versus how much are contact? In other words, one of the players on the Oklahoma basketball team seemed to get hit from the side or got hit from the side and tore his ACL. How much of that is accident like that where you get hit from the side versus it's just a twisting and turning wrong?
Well, that's a very good point, because ACL injuries are typically broken up into so-called contact and non-contact ACL injuries. Non-contact ones happen, as you say, when someone pivots or twists. There's no one even touches them. They just pivot and twist so hard, changing directions, that they tear their ACL. Or they land from a jump awkwardly. No one touches them, but they tear their ACL. It depends on the sport, of course, but approximately two-thirds of ACL injuries occur without contact, so-called non-contact ACL injuries. And those are the ones that we believe are particularly preventable.
Joe?
Because those are ones that are based on your body position and body mechanics, and that can be likely best affected through a prevention program. If someone runs you over, and your knee gets bent in a bad position and you tear your ACL, that a prevention program is unlikely to help you a lot there.
We'll be back with Dr. Marks. More on ACLs coming up in a minute. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start insures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
if
really sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week in about 4 minutes. Dr. Robert Marks, an orthopedic surgeon at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City. He's published a book on anterior cruciate ligament injuries, prevention for athletes, the ACL solution. And it's written with the help of a physical therapist as well. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen again. Dr. Mike.
And I should say that the Hospital for Special Surgery is one of the few rated higher than the Cleveland Clinic in orthopedic surgery. It is rated number one by U.S. News and World Report and has been for a number of years. Dr. Marks is a key component of that, being a specialist in the knee, and that's what we're talking about, the anterior cruciate ligament. Dr. Marks, is the reason athletes seem to be able to come back to playing better than they did 10 and 20 and 30 years ago, is that because of better surgery or better recovery or all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. We've learned a tremendous amount about knee surgery and the ACL in particular over the last 20, 30 years. So the surgery is done much differently. The rehabilitation is far more accelerated than it has been. 20 years ago, people were put in casts after ACL reconstruction, and now they start motion very, very early. So the rehabilitation and the surgery is much less invasive, and the rehabilitation is much more accelerated.
And is the rehabilitation a similar thing that as this is prevent our prevent how different are prevention and rehabilitation?
That's a great question, Michael. I think the main thing is that when you're rehabilitating early on, first you want to just get the swelling down and the motion for the patient, and then work on strength until they're strong enough to do some light agility exercises and light jogging, usually around 4 months, And then somewhere between 6 months and 9 months, they start doing some things close to coming back to sports, what we call sports-specific exercises. And then somewhere, usually not before 6 months, but somewhere between 6 months and a year, they go back to sport. And where I think the two come together, prevention and rehabilitation, is really what you want to do right before they go back to sport is work on the prevention exercises. So just because they've had an injury doesn't mean it's too late, because people can re-injure their knee and also injure the other knee. They can tear the other ACL, and they happen with equal frequency, re-tearing the graft, re-tearing the fixed knee, and tearing the ACL in the other knee are about equal in frequency once people have the surgery. So someone who's torn their ACL, once they finish their rehabilitation, once they finish their recovery, they're a perfect person to target with the prevention exercises.
And now, do sports teams, when I was, I was a competitive athlete so long ago, we never did anything like this. Do sports teams now teach this? For example, do girls' basketball teams now routinely teach this type of exercise set? By the way, I should say the book is The ACL Solution, Prevention and Recovery from Sport's Most Devastating Injury. The lead author is Robert G. Marks, M-A-R-X. The website, www.drmarx.com. Do sports teams routinely teach this now?
That's actually why I wrote the book. In medicine, the way it works, as you know, is that we come up with the findings, we discover things, such as that many ACL injuries can be prevented. But from the time that discovery is made till it's widely adopted that everyone's doing prevention can take a long time. Just like we know seatbelts worked, maybe 20, 30 years ago, many people didn't use the seatbelts, even though they knew they should. And nowadays, most people put on their seatbelt by reflex and feel kind of naked in a car without a seatbelt on. At least most and many people do. So I think it's like that with ACL prevention. I think we're at the point now where people know it works, but it's not being widely implemented. Now, there's certainly schools, a lot of the Division I female basketball programs, collegiate programs, are doing it because they can't afford to have one of their stars go down with an ACL injury, and they know that many, many have. Because females are at much higher risk of ACL tears than males, high school basketball and soccer teams, female teams in particular, have multiple kids with ACL tears on average. They have, two, three, four kids with ACL tears. And same thing in college. So if you have some of the top collegiate programs are doing it, but many, many high schools are not. And it's very easy to do. It's not that complicated. And it could be implemented as part of gym class. It could be part of the basketball warm-up for the varsity team or the JV team. But really, it could be a part of all kids' gym classes, a 10-minute warm-up a few times a week. It doesn't take much. So to answer your question, yes, it is being implemented some places, but certainly not anywhere near as much as it could and should be.
And in fact, one of the things that many of these are exercises you should that many people do otherwise for strength, and so you could put these in an easy sequence, and not only gain strength and core strength as well. So you do the lunge and the squat as well as planks, and you teach dynamic exercises and how to do those both dynamically, and then how to jump and how to land and practice it. So I think this is a wonderful book that probably all of us. Now, when I say I say, how important is it for us older folk to do it as opposed to the young kids?
Well, it depends. So I think if you're someone who does a little, a little weight training and you ride a stationary bike, you're probably not going to tear your ACL. You're at pretty low risk. But there's a lot of folks now over 40, over 50, who are doing things like tennis, skiing, And those sports, particularly skiing, I see a lot of people in the winter over 40 tearing their ACL skiing, often not going that fast. They just fall and twist awkwardly, largely oftentimes because their bindings are too tight. But there are other reasons too. And so those folks would benefit tremendously from doing these prevention exercises, you know, before the ski season or all year round, depending on what other activities they're involved in.
The book is The ACL Solution, Prevention and Recovery from Sport's Most Devastating Injuries. It's a wonderful book and really well illustrated. Robert G. Marks, M-A-R-X, M-D. You'll want to, in fact, call him if you're in any place near New York and have an injury. He's a pro at the knee and is one of the main pros at the Hospital for Special Surgery. But get this book if you've got kids or grandkids. This is a wonderful book to learn how to keep your knees intact. And the website, www.drrmarx.com. Thank you, Dr. Marks.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Joe, we're going to not have time for the tip of the week this week because I ran over.
That's fine. A lot of great information in that segment with Dr. Marks. To reach the show, 877-711-5211. Or udocs@gmail.com. Miss a segment, miss a guest, miss a topic, radiomd.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products and you get a free gift. Famous D-Herbs all-natural all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.